Yeah. If you've been at Hope City for any amount of time, you've probably recognized that we do this thing called team teaching. And so sometimes one of us is up here speaking. Sometimes two of us are up here speaking. If you were here on Easter, three of us were up here speaking. And it's just important to who we are as Hope City. We're going to move this back a little bit, right?
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to move this back because of the lighting. I think it'll be a little easier. Is that better? No? Okay. It's fine. We're going to keep it there. But team teaching is important to who we are here at Hope City. And we think that it's important that you guys get well-rounded teaching and that you hear different voices. And so there's four of us right now that are on staff, Pastor Jason and Pastor Paula, and then myself and Evie. And I've spoken up here with Pastor Paula, and I've spoken up here with Pastor Jason, but I've not spoken with Pastor Evie yet. So this is like, this is a moment. Are you guys excited?
I'm excited. Evie hasn't spoken up here at all yet.
Woo,
so
Pastor Evie's debut today. We're going through this series called Church Hurt. And has it been rough? Has it been rough for anyone else or just me? Man, this is a hard series. And last week, Pastor Jason talked to us about breaking the cycle. And the big idea, he taught us that we need to stop acting out of hurt. And the big idea was that hurt people, but healed people can help people heal. Okay, I'm going to say that one more time because it's a mouthful. When you're hurt, when you're somebody who has been hurt, whether you mean to or not, the tendency is that hurt people turn around and hurt more people. But if we'll take intentional steps towards getting healed up, then healed people can help people heal. And then the week before that, Pastor Paula taught us all about spiritual spring cleaning. Woo! And the whole basis of that sermon was forgiveness, right? It's time to forgive. And sometimes Jesus asks us to go back to a place of hurt so that we're able to move forward with him. And my favorite quote from that Sunday, and you guys, if you normally come to second service, probably didn't even hear it, because Holy Spirit gave this quote to Pastor Paula in first service, and I wrote it down, and then she didn't even say it second service. It wasn't in her notes. It wasn't her. But here's what she said. You can't hold the church, capital C church means every church, right? You can't hold the church captive for words that Jesus never said. It was so good. I'm going to say it one more time. You can't hold the church captive for words that Jesus never said. And I saw it a different way this week, actually on social media. A guy named Patrick Parker said it this way. He said, I'm sorry the church hurt you. That was humanity, not Jesus. And that statement right there leads us perfectly into our message for today. We're titling it, Real People Go Here. And this sermon, I know, you guys are so fun. This sermon is all about us being human and being real. And how do we work with that? How do we work with it? One question that has the tendency to keep us stuck and keep us from moving forward in relationship with Jesus is the question, what if it happens again? Yeah. What if I get hurt again? What if someone does that to me again? And I just, spoiler alert, right from the beginning. You will get hurt again. I know, it's so quiet, right? But that's the truth. The truth is, you are going to get hurt again. Because, here's the reason why. When people enter into relationship with Jesus, they don't become these perfect, ever-loving, always kind, never harsh, endlessly patient robots. Right. The Bible never says that. We enter into relationship with Jesus and real work has to happen. And so really the question, and we're going to spend the rest of our time answering kind of two big questions. So our sermon, our message is going to be split into two big points, and then there'll be some mini points in between. But the first question that we really should be asking is, what do I do when I get hurt again? Not what if it happens again, but how do I handle it when I do get hurt again? And the answer to this question in our first big point is grace. We have to have a grace response. And before we can dive into this grace response, we need to answer the question, what is grace? What is it grace through a biblical lens? What does Jesus say that grace is? And I'm going to go straight to the Bible for that. Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 4, says, but God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. So God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness toward us, as shown in all he has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for it. It's a gift from God. Salvation, listen to this part. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. I'm going to go back actually to verse 7. Because verse 7 says, so God can point, I love that word point, he can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness toward us. God can point at you and he can say, that is grace. And then he can point at you and say, that is grace. And then he can point at me and he can say, that is grace. Grace is unearned. It's undeserved favor from God. And I am that, and you are that. It's kind of like the trophies that most kids get today. Unearned and undeserved. I'm just saying. You can quote me on that hashtag, whatever. You can quote me on that in the social media post later. That gracious kids trophies. I told you I was competitive. I told you. Here it is. The fact is, people mess up. And that is our first grace response that we have to recognize. We have to recognize that people mess up. It's been happening since the very two first people entered earth. They messed up. And every single person, with the exception of one, has been messing up since then. Jesus came to earth and he didn't mess up. And the rest of us have all messed up. Every single person. And if we can recognize that people mess up, then it gives us a different lens, a grace response to how we handle when we get offended. Romans chapter 3, starting in verse 23 says, for we have all sinned and are all in need of the glory of God. Yet through his powerful declaration of acquittal, God freely gives away his righteousness. His gift of love and favor now cascades over us. All because, this is it right here, Jesus, the anointed one, has liberated us from guilt, punishment, and power of sin. That is grace. And that is what our grace response is filtered through, is that I mess up. And so I have to recognize that other people are allowed to mess up as well. There was one time that a church person was over at my house and we were just doing life together, and her phone rang, and she didn't need to tell me about what was happening on the other end of the line because I could hear it word for word. It was passionate. And what I hear, this was a friend of hers that doesn't know Jesus, isn't in relationship with Jesus, but that she had been trying to get to come with her to church. She had been working on her. And this person is like, your so-called Christian friends, I can't even believe that they say they love Jesus, because I just saw them at the grocery store and they cut me off and they were so rude, and I don't even remember all of it. Goes on and on and on. And, you know, not only is she sitting on her pastor's couch, but she's like, and I'm super proud because she goes, well, did you talk to him about it? That's Matthew 18, right? We'll talk about that a little bit later. Go right to that person. No, I didn't talk to him about it. I was in my car, whatever the case might be. It doesn't matter. But she got off the phone and she looked at me and she's like, what do I do about that? I've been working so hard, and it kind of seems like people are messing it up for me. And I looked at her and I said, yeah, turns out real people go to our church. And she was like, real people go to Hope City. And she's like, oh, why didn't I think to say that to her, right? But the point is this: recognize that you have bad days, just like somebody else has bad days. And some days my feelings and my attitude get the best of me. Sometimes I don't do the best job of representing Jesus. And sometimes I mess up. And so because sometimes I mess up, probably sometimes other people mess up too.
Come on, that's so good.
Yeah. Recognize that people mess up and extend grace. Extend grace, because when the day comes that I need a little bit of extra grace, I want to be able to reap, that means get, what I've sown, which means planted. I want to be able to get what I've planted. And if I planted grace, I want to be able to get grace. But if I planted unforgiveness and I planted bitterness and I planted anger, then guess what? I'm probably going to get bitterness and anger and unforgiveness. So by me planting grace responses, I'm going to be able to reap grace responses. Be overly generous with grace. Because that person earned it? No. Because they deserve it? No. Because you received it. Because you got grace. And so it's time to plant grace. It's time to spread grace like 21st century children's trophies.
Our second point is assume the best. And I just have to laugh because I got given this point, and it's like Jesus, like, yeah, it's Jesus saying, like, here you go, AV, because I get to like preach to myself today, because like this is like the last thing that I do naturally. Like, I don't assume the best naturally. And so we are working on that, Jesus and I. And so it was just a funny little game that he's playing. Like, anyways, just to be real with you, I'm real too. So, you know, and so like, I'm gonna give you a little situation here. So Anyone have people like say something to them that like kind of stung? Yeah. A big one for me, like I can do a lot. Like I like to do a lot of things. And sometimes people see that I'm doing a lot of things and they take stuff off my plate for me. And that makes me mad. Right? Like when people say something to make me mad, when people take stuff from me, that makes me mad. And I jump to assumptions really quickly of like, well, obviously this person thinks this, and obviously this person thinks that I can't do this well, and obviously this person thinks that I'm some terrible person and they gotta say nasty things, you know, whatever that looks like. And by that point, I have all those circles running in my head, right? My guards go up. The way that I speak is different. The way that I walk and hold myself is different. The way that I look at you is different, right? Because my guards are up, I'm hurt, I'm protecting myself. And when in all reality, let me tell you, people don't wake up and say, let me see how I can get to AV today. Let me see how I can hurt AV today, right? And I know actually it's very much the opposite of the truth, because I know people in this room love me so much that they see, dude, Avi's running around like a chicken with her head cut off. What can I take from her so that she can chill just a little bit? Or I see Avi is working 8 days a week. Like, what can I do to help her relieve her stress a little bit, right? And that's what we need to recognize, is that sometimes the enemy can turn those truths of like, people are here to help, and turn those into lies of like, here's what people think of you, very quickly. Like very, very quickly. And let me tell you, there's a better way. This process of walking through life with people would be so much easier if we just assumed the best, right? And in these moments where I find myself like, oh, I could fight someone right now. Like, oh, I'm really angry. Ephesians 6:12 says, our fight is not against people on earth.
I'm sorry, I'm disruptive.
It's okay.
I'm disruptive.
It's okay.
Just took out my hoops. That's all.
It's okay.
Did.
I mean,
took out my hoops.
I got Mickey earrings on, so usually they're not an issue. Ephesians 6:12 says, our fight is not against people on earth, but against the rulers and authorities and the powers of this world's darkness, against the spiritual powers of the evil in the heavenly world. The enemy wants nothing else but to cause disunity and dissension between people. And not just people, but especially the people in the capital C church. As soon as the enemy has us against each other, we've lost. It's over, right? And I know that this one is such a hard one to master, because it's not, I mean, for many people, it's not their nature. I know one person that could come close, and her name is Vicky Clays. And I know that she even struggles with this, okay? And sometimes people do really hurtful things. And sometimes it feels like if you don't hold these people responsible, no one else will. And I'm going to speak to that lie right now. Romans 12:19 states, beloved, don't be obsessed with taking revenge, but leave that to God's righteous justice. For the scripture says, vengeance is mine and I will repay, says the Lord. We serve a father that sees what happens. He cries with us in our pain. And I promise that if we leave corrective actions up to him, we will see a difference in our own life, right? If we want to be less negative, if you want to be less angry, if you want to be less bitter, if you want to love people better, if you want eyes that see people the way Jesus does, leave the revenge to God and assume the best in others.
So good. It's so good. Have you ever had a splinter? Yeah. If you say no, I probably think you're a liar, but it's okay. It doesn't usually hurt too bad at first. Sometimes you might not even notice it, right? It might be a little bit annoying or a little bit of pain, but in the beginning, a lot of times they go unnoticed. But give it a little bit of time and redness, pain, swelling, maybe even like some pus, it's ugly, it's painful, and pretty soon all you can think about is that splinter. And it might even be on the tip of your finger, but it becomes all-consuming really quick. Am I right? Festering, that's what that process is called, festering, is your body's way of getting something that is foreign and toxic out of your body.
the longer it's left there, the more painful and uncomfortable the removal process is. Don't let your offenses fester. Deal with them quickly. Our next grace response is to deal with your offenses quickly. We will always come back to this because it's a pillar of Hope City. Matthew 18, verse 15 says, if your fellow believer sins against you, you must go to that person privately and attempt to resolve the matter. If he responds, your relationship is restored. We live by it. If you ever wonder, like, hey, I've been coming to Hope City for a while, and it seems like you speak a lot on this, and it seems like you speak a lot on that. If we speak a lot on something, it's because it's important to us. It's because it's who we are. This is who we are. If you come to me and you say, you're never going to guess what happened, I'm going to say, I'm going to stop you right there. And you can talk to other people in this room because I've multiple times said, I'm going to stop you right there, right? And turn around and go deal with it and deal with it quickly. It might be difficult, right? But it's not as difficult as a festering offense. A festering offense looks like what AB was just talking about, right? Where it goes from, oh, well, if they're taking that from me, then it must mean that they think I'm not doing a good job, which must mean that they think they can do better, which must mean they're probably telling other people that I'm not doing a good job, and probably everyone here thinks that I'm not doing a good job. That's a festering offense, right? Because what happens is then lies are learned, right? Every little thing that that person says is now taken the wrong way. Relationship is strained. It affects the way you react and respond to that person. And it gets really big, really fast, to where it's all you can think about. Just like that. Dealing with an offense, the moment you notice it, is going to be what has the least impact on you long term. It might be difficult. It might be uncomfortable. It might feel really fresh and really raw. But how many of you know that fresh is better than rotten any day? And if you have to deal with it once it becomes rotten, there's many other implications that follow it. All right, so I told you that this message is split into two big parts, right? We have our grace response, which answers the question, what do I do when I get hurt? The other big point that we're going to touch on today answers the question, what if I hurt someone? Yeah. Right? Because I know your heart. Nobody walked into church this morning thinking, I got hurt at church, so I'm going to see who I can hurt today. I know that that's not your heart. I know that nobody is going around intentionally hurting other people just because you got hurt. That's nobody in here. And I know that there's an underlying fear of, like, I don't want to do to somebody what they did to me. I don't want to do to someone else what happened to me in church. And it's keeping you from entering into relationship. It's keeping you from moving forward because you're held up by this fear that I might damage someone. You might. Probably, if you get into real relationship with people here, you will. And the next point that is going to, like, what do we do? Right? We need Holy Spirit's help. Holy Spirit's the answer to this question. Because because you can't do this on your own. You need help. And in John chapter 14, verses 16 through 18, it says, "And I will ask the Father." So this is in response. Let me pause really quick. This is Jesus talking, and it's in response to the disciples kind of freaking out. Jesus is, he's preparing them. He's saying, listen, I'm going to go. I'm not going to be here anymore. And they're losing their minds. They're like, what are we going to do without you? You've been here. You've changed our world. Like, we've left everything for you. What are we going to do? And this is his response. He says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be inside you. No, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. The fact is, each and every one of us is in desperate need of the Holy Spirit's help in order to not hurt other people. We're not going to be able to do it on our own. But with the Holy Spirit's help every day, it's the prayer, guys, that I pray most frequently. Jesus, help me to be the best, most accurate representation of you that I possibly can. And I pray that over and I pray it over and over again because I recognize that I'm in desperate need for the Holy Spirit's help.
So our first point as we head into this is do your best. Ephesians 2:10 says, we have become his poetry, a recreated people that will fulfill the destiny he has given each one of us. For we are joined to Jesus, the anointed one. Even before we were born, God planned in advance our destiny and the good works we would do to fulfill it. Now, God won't give us a destiny without the tools to achieve it. And from there, it's our choice to use those tools for their intended purposes. God won't give us a destiny without the tools to achieve it. And from there, it's our choice to use those tools, right? And so we get to wake up every day and choose if we're going to walk out in the destiny that God has given us. And along with that, I just want to add this to that, because whether or not this is like something that comes naturally, because again, it's not for me, we have to choose joy. Like waking up in the morning, we get to choose joy. And joy is not dependent on the situations that we may face, and it's a lifestyle. It's a choice that we have to make despite the situations that we face. Romans 12, 15 through 18 says, celebrate with those who celebrate and weep with those who grieve. Live happily together in a spirit of harmony and be as mindful of another's worth as you are of your own. Don't live with a lofty mindset, thinking you are too important to serve others, but be willing to do menial tasks and identify with those who are humble-minded. Don't be smug or even think for a moment that you know it all. Never hold a grudge or try to get even, but plan your life around the noblest way to benefit others. Do your best to live as everyone's friend. And the quickest way, and it is also the most humbling way, to achieve this verse is to ask Jesus every morning to give you eyes that see people the way that he sees them. When we switch our eyes from earthly eyes to kingdom eyes, we get a perspective change and we learn to see people with the worth that God has placed in each and every single person. And we see them the way that the Heavenly Father sees them. Now, I do want to say, we are not perfect. We are not expected to be perfect. And I know that real people go to Hope City. And I also know that humble, forgiving, caring, loving, Jesus showing, revival, believing, admitting where they're wrong people go to Hope City. And when we wake up, when we walk outside of our door, we are representing more than just ourselves, right? We represent, not only do we represent ourselves, we represent Jesus. And in all reality, guys, you represent Hope City, right? And in the valley, and honestly, in the nation, I want Hope City to be known as the most loving church that people know. That when people talk about Hope City, man, people love like no other there. Man, people believe the best like no other there. Man, I've never felt more cared for than the people at Hope City care for me, right? People at Hope City are different, and that's because people at Hope City see with a heavenly perspective, not an earthly perspective, right? That takes every single one of us. And does that mean that we have bad days, that we can't have bad days? No. We have bad days, and we are allowed to have bad days. But it also means walking out life in humility and admitting when we're wrong and admitting when we did hurt and admitting when we weren't showing Jesus well, right? We have to learn the word, I'm sorry. And I'm going to tell you, again, this is an area that I'm growing in because I can be ruled by my emotions. I get angry really fast. I get mad really fast, and I don't hide them. Like, I don't, you know when I'm angry or when I'm mad, right? And there is a better way to live than that. Like, there's a better way to treat people than that. I hurt so many people around me because that's how I used to live. That's how I used to walk out, right? And there's a better way. I promise that as you make this part of your routine, you will see a shift in your days. You will see a shift in the people around you. You'll see a shift in the way you view life. We have to have a heavenly perspective.
Yeah, that's so good. The next thing that we need the Holy Spirit's help on, because it's not naturally very easy, is we have to make it right. Be quick to make it right. Yeah. See, the fact is, you're going to mess up. You're going to get it wrong. You also aren't one of those perfect little robots that I described at the beginning. You're a real person. But when you do mess up, you've got a job to do. Don't be defensive. Don't make excuses. Other people don't want to hear your excuses. Just go make it right and make it right quickly. See, pride is toxic. And it's going to keep your relationships in bondage. And it's going to keep you from moving forward. Pride will be your fall. But I'm sorry is a really powerful phrase. People need you to recognize that you messed up. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. You need to recognize that you messed up, because when you recognize that you messed up, then you can learn, you can grow, and you can hopefully not do that again. Do it right away. Remember the splinter? Don't give anyone else room to let your offense fester inside of them. Wow. They might not come right to you. Be humble. Go to them. Recognize when you messed up and say, listen, I'm so sorry. This is what I did, and I wasn't being an accurate representation of Jesus. You don't need to say, I was having a really bad day, and this went wrong, and this went wrong, and this went wrong, and that was just the straw that broke the camel. They don't care. Because they got the brunt of your frustration or whatever it was. They don't need to hear all of that other stuff. Just say, I'm sorry. I wasn't being an accurate representation of Jesus. Some of you were raised in families where I'm sorry wasn't a thing. In fact, some of you were raised in families where you knew that everything was okay because whoever was mad started talking to you again. Yeah. And then, okay, we're good now, right? And that's something that gets carried from generation to generation to generation, and it's time for you to break it. Break it off in yourself and break it off in your family. Decide that you're going to be starting with you where I'm sorry people now. We're people that apologize. We're people that recognize when we've messed up, and we make it right, and we do it quickly. That's being humble. That's what Jesus has called us to do. Jesus has called us to be humble. And if we can't admit that we don't have it all together, then why do we even need Jesus? You can't sit there and say, oh, as soon as someone becomes a Christian, they're not allowed to hurt people anymore. If you're a Christian, you shouldn't hurt people. No, I'm sorry. Because if that were the case, all you have to do is ask Jesus into your heart and then you never mess up again ever, then why would we need that advocate? Why would we need the Holy Spirit every day? Jesus didn't ask us to come into relationship with him and then do the rest on our own. No, he created us to have daily, dependent relationship on him. And I am desperate for his help. I can't go a day without him helping me. You don't want me to go a day without his help. Go to the person. Make it right. Even if they haven't come to you, even if they say, oh, that didn't really bother me, you're still being humble and you're being a good example of what it looks like to make it right. Admit when you're not being an accurate representation of Jesus.
As we wrap it up today, there's two questions that I want to ask. First, if you are like, hey, this sounds awesome. Like, I want to love people well, but I'm not in relationship with Jesus, and I can't love people like Jesus loves people if I don't know Jesus. If that's you, I'm going to ask everyone in here to just bow their heads. And if that's you, if you're like, hey, AV, like, I need a relationship with Jesus. Like, I want to love people like Jesus does, and I need a relationship with him. If that's you, I just want you to raise your hand. Come on. Come on. Yeah. And we're celebrating with you. The Bible says that even when one person gives their life to Jesus, all of heaven rejoices. And so we're rejoicing with you today because we are so excited. In the words of Pastor Jason, you have changed your address for eternity, and we are so excited for you. And we're going to just pray real quick. If you want to just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I just thank you so much for your death and for your resurrection, and that I get to live with you for eternity. Thank you for giving me the perfect example of what it looks like to love people and to love you. I say today that you drive and I ride. My life is yours. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're so excited for you. And if that was you this morning, we want to invite you back to our Next Steps table. We have a Bible for you. We have some resources for you. And we want to get to know you. We want to celebrate with you if you made that decision today. But lastly, before we wrap up, if you're like, hey, AV, I need eyes that see people the way Jesus sees people. I want eyes to see people that way. I want a heavenly perspective. If that's you and you're coming into agreement with that, I want to pray with you. I want you to stand up with me because I'm standing. Yeah, and we want to pray with you as we wrap up. Yeah, so good. Lord Jesus, I just thank you so much for the people and the heart that's in this room, God. And we just pray right now that you give us eyes to see people the way that you see people, Lord. The worth and the value and the destiny that you've put in every single person on this earth, God. We want to be able to see that, and we want to love people the way that you've loved people. Lord Jesus, and as we walk through the days, God, I just pray that you give us a heart of humility, a heart that is so soft and tender to the way that we treat people, the way that we speak to people, God. And we just want to be the best representations of you that we can be. God, and as we walk from this building this morning, we just want to say thank you for all that you're doing and all that you've done. Thank you for the ultimate sacrifice, and that we are able to sit here and just be in your presence and worship you, God. And we praise you and thank you. And it's your name we pray. Amen. Guys, we love you. We will see you back here next Sunday.
Sign up for a life group.
Sign up for a life group.